Good morning, everybody. Stand up if you would. We are ending our series on face-to-face, and we're doing a little different. We're going to be talking about face-to-face with people, and we're talking about getting, I started to call this, get out of Facebook and get face-to-face. Come on, somebody. I don't know why Hammer Facebook so bad, but it's not bad. Just a hobby horse preachers get on. All right, our text has been Exodus 33:11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses. Everybody say it with me. Face to face. Now, but we're going to change it. As I said, Matthew 22, Jesus said, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, love the Lord your God, get face to face with God. All right, that's what we've been doing for 4 weeks, get face to face with God. But then look what it says. This is the first and greatest, but watch this. The second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Get face to face with somebody else. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens. Anybody ever sharpened anything? Did the sparks fly when you sharpened it? Well, let me tell you, when you sharpen, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person will sharpen another. And the only way this in sharpening each other sometimes is good and sometimes it's tough. Everybody say, let the sparks fly. Come on, somebody. And if you've ever had that happen to you, but it's a great thing because watch this. There was a time when some sparks flew during the early church. And it was when Cephas, who is Peter, came to Antioch. I opposed him what? To his what? Face. To his face. Come on, some sparks are about to fly here. Watch this. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But then they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in hypocrisy so that their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Then you can read the rest of it. He had a face-to-face encounter with Peter. And that would have made the CNN news headlines. They would have puffed it up real big. Division in the church. And Paul had a face. And listen, let me tell you, it was good for Peter. This helped Peter. And sometimes we need a face-to-face to help us see some things and challenge ourselves. So the other day, I almost had a face-to-face. I couldn't get there in time. I was over on my house, and a parent had picked up a child after care. It must have been around 3:30, 4 o'clock. And he was screaming at this boy of his. And the boy looked to be maybe a third or fourth grader. I'm going to wear you. I'm going to tear you up when we get home. And just screaming at him as he's taking him home. And, we'll talk about that in just a minute. I thought we just about had a face-to-face. How many know when you deal with other people's kids, you go where angels fear to trod sometimes. And that's how that works. All right, Father, we love you today. We praise and thank you. We ask you to open up our hearts, our minds. Let us see and hear and understand truth. Lord, we want to do like Moses, to know your ways, not just your acts, to know your ways. And so teach us today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Look at somebody and say, are you ready to be sharpened? Look at somebody and say, are you ready to be sharpened today? All right, one of the biggest things is understanding that your spiritual life has the ability to change every part of your life. God always changes us from the inside out. That's why resolutions very rarely ever work, because we try from the outside in, it doesn't work. And when you change something on the inside, that's when it changes on the outside. And one of the big keys we're going to talk to you today about is this, that relationships are spiritual. I'm going to show you some things. And I want to show you from the Bible. Once you see this, you'll never look at relationships the same again. The truth is so fundamental that it shows up in the first story of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. It's in the creation story. And God begins to create things. He creates all the inanimate objects, the worlds, the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars. But then he begins in Genesis 1 to begin to create the living things. And notice what it says. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. Watch this. Seed-bearing plants, and that's very important, because God created this thing exactly like he wanted it created, and he did an awesome job. How many think God did a pretty good job when he created it? And one of the big truths, though, is how he created what he created was he created the plants that they had seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with the seed in it according to their various kinds. And literally with the seed that is that when God created something, he just didn't create something. He created something that could produce more of its kind. When he created a tree, he didn't just create a tree. He created a tree with the ability to reproduce. When he created grass, he didn't just, when he created flowers, he created them with the ability to reproduce because he put inside of them this thing called a seed. And so this seed had the ability to reproduce according to the various kinds he created it. And what the phrase literally means is that God shoved into the very first tree, he shoved every other tree that would ever be on the planet Earth. The tree that's in your yard, he shoved it into this tree when he began it. The flowers that's in your yard, he shoved the ability for those flowers. He shoved it in those first flowers that he ever made. He put in there this reproductive ability called a seed that then would, and I'm going somewhere, don't get lost, I'm going somewhere with this. The reproductive ability to do it, and so they would reproduce after their kind. God just didn't create a tree, he created a forest. He created a generation because this is how God always thinks. God does not always think this just in the here and now. God always thinks generational. God thinks generational because when he created the first plants, the first trees, the first vegetation, he created all of them generationally because he put within each one of them the ability to reproduce itself. He put within each one of them this seed, each of them being seed, to reproduce itself. Because what he did to mankind, he did the exact same thing to man. When he created man with the ability to reproduce himself. He's putting a law into effect just as real as gravity. The ability to reproduce. The ability to reproduce. The ability to reproduce. And so we have mighty oak trees that hurricanes cannot blow down. And God shoved all of that into an acorn. Or acorn, as we say back here. He shoved all that into an acorn. And literally, God can shove that in that little acorn. That's what makes God so awesome. He's omnipotent, we say. Omni means all. And potent means potential. That he has all potential. God has all potential. And all of the living creatures, he puts potential into them. He wasn't just creating the thing. He was creating everything the world would ever need or be inside of that one thing. So that's how awesome he is. Now, verse 12 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image. He said, let's put a little bit of God in him. Let's make him like us. And so he makes man his image and his likeness so that he may rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over livestock, over the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 28. Do I have verse 28? I don't have verse 28. And God blessed them. Everybody say, God blessed them. When God did that, according to what God did was he put into everything he created, he put this vehicle to be able to multiply. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. See, be fruitful and increase. And so what literally that is, now listen very carefully. The thing though that was needed, there was something that was needed for this reproduction to occur, and that was called intimacy. There had to be intimacy for the reproduction, what he made to be able to work. Whether it was vegetation, whether it was human beings. There would be an intimacy, and out of that intimacy would be the reproduction. That would be the vehicle that God would use to make literally the reproduction occur. Humans and animals would have to become intimate to be able to produce. And everything has to become intimate to reproduce. And listen, and everything that did become intimate would begin to reproduce. So after he finishes the animals, that's when he went into Genesis 1. And when he said, let us make man in our image, literally, the difference between you and Fido is you have a spirit and Fido does not have a spirit. But Fido has a soul. How many have ever had a mean dog? You ever had a mean dog? Has your dog ever had a bad day? I remember a buddy of mine, they had a dog and he died, and their little sister kept saying the dog went to heaven, and he said, dogs don't go to heaven. They ain't got a spirit. Dogs go God. Dogs are just died. They die, they're dead, they're gone. She went screaming into her house. He said, in just a minute, he heard his name, his first, middle, and last name called. How many of you can change your theology real quick when the paddle comes out? All dogs go to heaven. All right. So you have a spirit, though, and only human beings have a spirit. Animal life has a physical body, and a plant has a physical being. It has it. Animals have a spirit, a soul. They don't have a spirit, the Bible never says. But human beings, we got a part of God that no other creation got. We got the spirit. That, I believe that was part of the image that God made in us. Let us make man after our image. Well, he gave everybody else a physical body, and he gave animals a soul. But he only gave mankind a spirit, because God is spirit. And so he made us in the image of himself. He put within us a spirit, and we're to rule over all the rest of the animals. And then he said, be fruitful. The first thing God ever said was, it said, God bless them. I'm going to say bless them. God bless them. And we've turned that word into, if somebody sneezes, God bless you, God bless you. We've diminished the power of that. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and reproduce. Multiply. Fill the earth. And so, literally, go reproduce. And it's a truth that in the blessing beyond, and listen, it's beyond just physical reproduction. There was to be, listen, God knew there would be a transference from one generation to the next. Seed bearing seed after its kind. And literally, it's called, and I won't go into detail for, you know, mixed audience and young people. But literally, man has what is his seed within him. And that seed, when intimacy occurs, reproduces. But we don't just reproduce ourselves physically. That they end up looking like you, and, you know, your kids look like you. And I pity some of your kids. And you look like you, and but they act like you, and they talk like you, and they do this and that like you. But there's another part of you that's reproduced also, is called your spirit. And your spirit is also transferred. There is a transference, not only of all the other aspects, but also of your spirit. God knew there would be a transference of the spirit. Who you are, the life, who you are, your nature, your temperaments, and all that would happen. So God is so generational that that's how he set the world up. He set the plant kingdom up that way. A seed after its kind would reproduce. He set up the animal kingdom that way. It would be a transferring, a reproducing. And he set up mankind. He set up mankind the same way that we would reproduce after our own kind. Listen, relationships are no accident. They are part of God's design. He orchestrated his entire kingdom in a series of strategic relationships. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Most important decisions you'll ever make in your life are relationship decisions. The most important decisions you'll ever make in your entire life is relationship decisions, because God is orchestrating all this thing relationally. And listen, because he's letting the transference of everything in the previous generation to be transferred to the next generation. That's why we've lost it in our generation quite a bit, but you'll see families, there's things just run in families. My daddy was this, I ended up being that. You know, my granddad was that. I'm this. And you'll watch this happen. Well, that's just natural. You know, just natural thing. You just sit up there and watch it. No, no, no. It's beyond, because relationships are spiritual. And when there is a transferring, there is not just a transferring of looks and abilities and temperaments, but there is a transferring in the spiritual realm also. When intimacy occurs in the humankind, vegetation or animal kingdom, there is a transference of those things that happen to the next generation. That's how God set it up. Temperaments running in families, attitudes, occupations running in family lines. And God created all living things, especially human beings, with the ability of generational transference to the next generation. That's why you'll see it happening. That's how God set it up. In the Old Testament, when a priest, his sons would become priests, not just because they were in line, but literally when there was a transferring of things that occur in people's lives. That's why the devil, when he weasels his way into your life, he tries to tear apart your most important relationships in your life. And God took a risk when he did this, because that's the one main area, hands down, just to get into your relationships, to stop the process of generational transferring. Now I'm going to explain a little bit more. The problem is, not only does the good get transferred down, the bad gets transferred down. The good thing is, Jesus came on the scene to break the curse of the law. Come on, somebody. And you get to do it all over again. Listen, if you're sitting here today and you're wondering all this, listen, there is a, that's why Jesus came and literally, but listen, I could wear you out with statistics to show you the truth of this. You know, 97% of everybody that abuses kids was abused. 97%. Well, that's just a natural. No, let me explain to you why it happens. It's not just that's how they learn to treat. That's just what they learn. They grew up. They learned it that way. The truth is, it's a transferring. There is a generational curse that can be broken off of people's lives. That if you don't know it's come and you don't understand it, you don't know how to break it. And you don't know how to stand up against it and break that. And you break the good and break the bad and keep the good. There's a spiritual transference. And literally it says, God said one time, says, the sins of the father will be passed down to four generations. You say, what's up with God? Is he just so mad at the guy that he's going to punish four generations down the line? No, no. See, he's not stating something he's going to do. He's stating something that's in motion. He's stating how he created the universe to work. How he created the worlds to work. And that is, he knows in motion already because of the sins of this father. And literally, not just a father that sins, it's an iniquity. The iniquities of, an iniquity is, it's different than a sin. An iniquity means a bent in your character. You ever notice a family that's got a bent toward their character? I mean, they're just bent toward, you know, drunkenness, or they're bent toward anger, or they're bent a certain way. And it says the iniquities of, not the sins, but the iniquities of the fathers down to the fourth generation. Why is that? Because this transferring of generational spirit will continue down unless somebody stands up and breaks the curse like Jonathan did out of the house of Saul. Come on, somebody say amen. So he wasn't stating something he was going to do. It's something that was in motion. Now, God sent his son. Now, that's one of the reasons God hates divorce. And if you're here and in the crowd our size, we always have people that have had to walk through that. And many of you, it wasn't your fault. You had to deal with. But let me show you, and you would be the ones that would stand up immediately and say, tell them the truth. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you why God hates divorce. God doesn't just say, well, that's my pet sin. That's a one sin. You do that, I'm mad at you the rest of your life. No. That's not got anything to do with it. It's not that at all. That's not what it means at all. Let me just give you why in Malachi chapter 4. Let me show you why God said he hates divorce. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. No, I'm sorry, we're back. We missed. You have Malachi? Where am I at? It's Malachi 2. That's what I need. Let me do this one. Malachi 2. Here we go. Another thing you do, you flood the altars with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask, why? God, why are we in such a mess? Why is this place? And here's what he says. It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner. That was modern day, Martha something. They had that going on. The wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Here it is. Godly offspring. Do you know what God says? God says the reason I hate divorce is it messes up Genesis chapter 1. It messes up the generational transferring that I want you to transfer down to the next generation, all the things, the good things that I put into you. I want that to be there. There is a need there. So that's, it said, what's the reason? Because God's upset with that. That's the reason God's upset about divorce. He's upset about all the other things. I won't diminish that. But Malachi says, the one thing is, why is he so upset? Because he was looking for godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Because I'm looking to transfer this. Don't deal treacherously with them. I'm looking for a transference to take place. So when that happens, relationships, let me say it again, relationships are spiritual. And I said all that to I just want to throw, do this. Don't throw in the towel. He said, "Well, I messed up so bad, man, my relationships." Listen, God is the God of redemption, and God can, you can start a whole brand new transferring taking place in your life, and you don't have to be stuck there. Now, I said all this to say, to set up for this way. The last thing that Jesus did when he came to the earth, when he left the earth, was this. Well, so I'll send you the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Here's what God said. Here's the last verse of the Old Testament. "I'll turn the hearts of parents back to their children and the hearts of their children back to their parents." He said, what I'm going to do is, here's how I'm going to break the curse. I'm going to break the curse generationally. I'm going to bring a restoration to where there is going to be a restoring back of how I created this world to operate. That is, there is to be a transferring from one generation to the younger generation. And I'm going to turn them back to where they literally come back. And here's the last thing he said. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up. And the last thing Jesus ever did was the very first thing. I believe Jesus was in Genesis. And the Bible says in Genesis that he blessed mankind. In Genesis 1, it says, he blessed them, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." The last thing Jesus did when he's leaving the earth, he blessed them and said, "Go into all the world and do what? Transfer what I've given to you. Make a transfer take place." So I did all that to set it up for this reason. Point number one is this. Relationships are spiritual. Until you realize that, you will miss the importance of the depth of what we call relationships. Grasp it today. Now, Jesus has come, and as I said, broken. If you're in a bad relationship or had a bad relationship, God can do that. But I need for you this morning to see the importance and to take relationships seriously. You know what Peter wrote? Peter said, let me tell you why some of your prayers aren't being answered. Because you're not living with your wife in an understanding way. I didn't write that. He wrote that. Now, watch this. Your church relationships are spiritual. Your work relationships are spiritual. Your school relationships are spiritual. Your neighborhood, your family relationships are spiritual. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say. Here is how the universe is set up. Where there is any level of intimacy, there is reproduction. Where there is any level of intimacy, whatever level it is, friendship, just pals, hanging around, whatever level, wherever there's intimacy in a relationship, the universe is set up that there be a reproduction. Doesn't matter what level it's on. When you get into intimacy, when you get into intimacy in a relationship, there is reproduction occurs. That's one of the big things I'll tell you in just a moment that we used in raising our parents. Genesis 4:1 says it exactly that way. Adam knew, and that's a biblical word, knew. And literally, when you see new translation, that if you did a little mark on there, and it says, literally it says knew or know. And listen, the more you get to know somebody, you get into an intimacy with them, you get to know them. There will be a reproduction depending on the level of intimacy you have with them. Intimacy always causes reproduction. Where there's any level. Number two, then, that brings us to this. Relationships have lasting impact on lives of people. Relationships have a lasting impact. Relationships will impact your life in a good way or a bad way. You get around the wrong people, there'll be a reproductive process that takes place in your life. It's critical for you to understand that it will have a lasting impact. Your whole life, listen, your whole life is shaped by the people around you. Your whole life is shaped by your relationships. Your whole life is shaped by your relationships. Relationships are critical. Let me just write that one in. Relationship choices are so critical in people's lives. They are critical. Let me give you this. Decisions you make about relationships are really the basis of whether you're going to be successful in life or not. It's your relationships. Let me say it this way. If you want to lose weight, guess what one of the best ways to lose weight is? Team up with somebody that'll call you and ask if you ate that third Oreo cookie this morning or you put it down. Because if you try to lose weight by yourself, guess what happens? Yo. If you want to, listen, if you want a life change, you cannot do it alone. God put into the universe this relational ability to where we cannot do things on our own. We have to do it as a group or as a generational group. And you need accountability partner. If you want to, listen, if you want to go to the gym, how many of you have paid for gym memberships and wasted your money? But if you try to do it by yourself. But if you have a partner, somebody along with you, whether it's a family member, somebody, if you want to grow in God, guess what the best way to how to learn to grow in God is? Get in a small group. Get in a group. Get in a partnership. Get with somebody. You want to be healed? Well, I know I'm healed. I just going to believe God. And you want to be healed? Look what the Bible says. Look in James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that what? You may be what? Healed. Why did he say, why don't you just get alone in a room by yourself and work up enough faith and you'll be healed? Because God is a relational, everything God does is relational. God always causes us to need each other. See, a lot of times what God does is he saw that Adam and saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And God still sees it's not good for us to be alone. He sees it's not good for our family to be alone. He sees it's not good. God never intended for us to make this a go on ourselves. There needs to be that. God has set this thing in motion and he won't change it just for us. Proverbs 27 says it this way. It says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Let me tell you something. Show me your children's friends and I'll show you their future. Show me your children's friends. And let me tell you one thing. Jasmine and I, you know, we were probably perfect parents. No, we weren't perfect parents, all right? And we had our ups and downs. But listen, at least at this point, I'm a grandparent and I've got both my kids and their spouses love God and their kids. And they love coming to church, even though they work here. But they love coming to church. But they love coming before they ever worked here. And they love God. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you one of the top things that Jasmine and I did raising our kids. One of the top things we guarded like bulldogs was their friends. Top things we guarded was their friend. We started back when they were little in nursery. I'd go and ask. I'd go find out. I'd go this. I'd go that. I'd find out. I'm going to tell you, I'd find out. I'd go to Sue. I'd go to my principal back there. I'd go to the teacher. I'd find out about this family. They're having a birthday party. What's going on? Who are they? What kind of people are they? Bye, 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 bye. You know why? Because I understood that relationships are spiritual. And whatever amount of intimacy occurs, there's a reproductive thing that occurs with it. Whatever happens. We had over in our neighborhood one time, a family moved in that was part of the academy. And I remember the first day they moved in, one of the kids rode down the street on a bicycle and rode up our driveway. And I happened to be standing out by the mailbox. And they were one of the meanest kids you ever met in your life. And I remember they asked, can your child come out to play? They asked in normal way, name. I'm just masking a little bit. And you know what I said to them? I said, no. And they'll never be able to come out and play. My kids love God today. Why would you do that, Pastor Terry? Because I know relationships are spiritual. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm today. We'll turn that page and go on the next one. Show me your children's friends, I'll show you their future. Because I knew whatever level of intimacy they would get on a level with those, there would be a reproduction in their lives. We've always known that. We've always known that just from practical knowledge. But the reason is because relationships are spiritual. God set that in motion that way. And it's going to occur. So you need to do that. Show me your friends. On and on. So why do that? There's a law. That's a law of the universe as real as gravity is. Listen. And here's what I want to do. Here's a checklist. We're going to end up this one. Here's a checklist of questions I want you to ask yourself. Because if you want to see real change in your life, you're going to have to get in a relationship. You're going to have to get in a small group. See, small groups is not some additional thing we added because this is a real church. It's Sunday and the small group, that's the one of those programs there. Listen, small groups are the church. And you will change more in a small group than you ever will listen to this great, fantastic preacher preach. Come on, somebody. You will change more in a small group than you ever will listening to me preach. It's a process. It's part of it. But you need to get in a place where iron sharpens iron. Where you face-to-face somebody instead of Facebooking them. Face-to-face with somebody that can help. You'll hear something. You do it. And small groups kick off today. So you're not going to be the newbie. You're a bunch of new people joining the small group. If you want to change, if you really want to change, get in a small group. It will do. So let me give you a checklist of questions here to ask. And then we're going to end. Number one is this. I want you to ask yourself, am I nurturing important relationships? Am I nurturing important relationships? You've got important relationships in your life. Are you nurturing them? You know, there was one time we got real busy and you just wake up sometimes, realize your job's eating your lunch and you're neglecting your family. I don't know if it ever happened to you, but I said, yeah, you know, I'm not going to lose my family. I remember the day I made a conscious decision. I'll lose everything else, but I'm not going to lose my family. I'm not going to lose my kids. I'm not going to be so busy attending to everybody else. And then I don't tend to my own garden. So I made up my mind. If anything else, my lasting legacy will be my kids love God, and they're going on for God, and they love me, and they love being around. You ought to see, last Jasmine's birthday was Thursday, Friday. Oh, help me, Jesus. Thursday, we got on a train. Here's why I mixed up. Thursday, she said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I want to go to Hammond, get on the train and take the train to New Orleans. I said, oh, really? I said, okay. I want to take the whole coot and caboodle with it. I want to take our grandkids and everybody with them. Blah, blah, blah. So we took all of us. All of us got on a train. You got to see, we drove over to Hammond, got on the Amtrak train. You got to see, we walked in about 1:15, and the guy said, oh, my first customers of the day. Undoubtedly not real busy over there. And we got on the train, Amtrak. We rode to New Orleans, got on a trolley, went over to the Hilton, spent the night at the Hilton over there on the Riverwalk, had a great time, and then got back, got the trolley, and when we got back to the Amtrak, oh, you're the Hammond group. And so undoubtedly they don't have a lot of people coming from Hammond to New Orleans on the train. But let me tell you one thing. We had four kids, 2-year-olds and under. An hour and a half on a train is enough, all right? That's an hour and a half on a train is enough for that, but it was fun. Okay, are you nurturing important relationships? And you know, nurturing is like a baby, taking care of it. Listen, the devil will always attack your most important relationships. And relationships never stay where you left them. Do you hear that? You see, if you're a Sunday Christian, you come back next Sunday thinking your relationship with God is going to be the same place you left it last Sunday. It's not going to be there. It'll be lower again. You got to get built back up. And then next Sunday, it's the same old. So what happens is you got to have a relationship with Jesus every day of your life. You got to come in the house. You got to bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You don't come in, I didn't like a song service today. I just didn't know any of them songs. I don't like any of them. I just couldn't worship God. Well, why don't you bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord? Instead of coming in to get a sacrifice of praise. Thank you in this Presbyterian church. All right. Let me tell you something. If you're a workaholic, you need to look back over and realize you got the most valuable thing in your life you need to take time with. One of my buddies, he said he learned a lesson. He loves hunt. He said, I started taking my kids hunting with me. Take my kids. He said, you know why? He said, because I learned this long ago. If I'll hunt with my kids, one day I won't have to hunt them. All right. Nurture your marriage. Listen, if you go every 25 years somewhere, go somewhere with her. Look at her and say, hey, come over here. Get a little piece of these lips right here, you know, and. All right. You need to throw a log on the fire every so often. All right, look at Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, you are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. The entire law is fulfilled keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you'll be destroyed by each other. As I say, walk by the Spirit, you'll not be gratify the desires of the flesh, and the flesh desires, da, da, da. Look at verse 18. And the conflict with each other, so you're not do whatever you want to, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And verse 19, the acts of the flesh. So when you begin to understand this, literally, you do this. The devil works overtime to destroy your relationship. All right, number two question, ask yourself. Am I severing harmful relationships? Am I severing harmful? Some of you have friends and coworkers you need to distance yourself from. We used to have a ministry many years ago. I don't want to say how many years ago now, 40 years ago. Jimmy and I had a ministry over in Hammond. And I'll never forget, we had a girl, and her whole ministry was missionary dating. You remember that? She came to us and said, yeah, God gave me a unique ministry. It's called missionary dating. We said, well, what's that? I date unsaved guys, just try to win them to the Lord. If you get close enough to them, intimate with them, there's going to be a reproductive process that takes place you cannot stop. You become friends with the wrong people. I'm just friends with them. I'm just friends with them. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going out to coffee. I'm letting them buy me a meal. I'm not doing nothing. Listen, if they're not marriageable material, I wouldn't even have a cup of coffee with them. It's called getting intimate with some, and God has set in motion a law of the universe that literally causes reproduction. There is a reproduction of whatever level of intimacy you get involved with somebody on. There's a reproduction. We always knew that, you know, practically, but it is. There is a reproduction, and I'm gonna tell you right now. I feel responsible as a pastor, now a dad, and now a grandfather to speak to the young lady. Let me tell you, if there's a guy that's pressuring you to do anything you're not comfortable with, and anything you know is wrong, listen. You need to kick him by the curb and thank God and Greyhound he's gone. Come on, somebody. And if he don't like it, give the number of the church here and tell him to call me. I'll talk to him and tell him why. And I've done that. And there was a guy that came. He was dumb as mud. And he came here to find out why it was wrong not to sleep together. I never, he just looked at me, why is it wrong? She wants to, I want to. What's wrong? We had a wonderful conversation that day. If you got a coworker that you're getting too close to and you're laughing at their coarse jokes and they're telling you all this kind of junk and you're just, listen, that will get into you. If you, listen, I'll never forget, I used to say, somebody needs to say something. Or you need to part yourself from them because it happened. Intimacy always produces. Listen, there, if you're in a hunting lodge and it's wrong group of guys, find you another hunting lodge. Go with another group of guys and go hunting. And this is a balance between, you know, I always believe in witnessing, reaching out to them. But do not enter into a relationship with them. Because relationships, intimacy always produces reproduction. It's a process that happens. If you're going out with the girls and they're always doing this or doing that or watching the movies, this and that. Listen, Jasmine and I have walked out to numbers and numbers of movies. We've just got up. We had no idea. One time I took my kids to see, I thought it was King Kong. And when I got in, I realized it was Godzilla. How many know there's a big difference between Godzilla and King Kong? Well, maybe there's not, but that day was. All right. Look at this. Am I severing harmful relationships? Do not be misled. Bad company, listen, your character can be corrupted by your friends and the relationships you've got. Look at the next one. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. Absolutely. Go to the next one. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? The answer is none. There can none take place. The answer is none. Here's the last one this morning, question asked. Number three, am I initiating meaningful relationships? Am I initiating meaningful? There are some relationships you don't have that you need. Let me just tell you the truth. You don't have them, but you need them. You may not be, the social butterfly. You may not be the one that really enjoys that. But I don't enjoy medicine sometimes, but I take it. My blood flows free right now. I mean, they got me on that. I'm flowing free, you know. My blood flows free. But there are things that you need that will literally change your life. And there are meaningful relationships. That's why we're doing small groups. Not we're not doing so we can impress and say we got this. We're doing because that is our church. It's not just an add-on. It is as important as Sundays are. Because change takes place in relationships. When you rub up against somebody and you've got enough of the bad ones around you to have to cut off and sever, get around some good ones. Get involved with some good ones. It will make a difference in your life. We're launching small groups today, and we've got everything. I mean, you name the type of group, we've got it. We've got it during the week. We've got it. I'm doing my own group. I'm doing it during the weeknight and during the week. We all do. We love groups. We love small groups because we saw the change. And how it works a lot of times is you first start out, you're a little uncomfortable the first meeting or two. And here's how we ask you, go shopping. Come on, elderly women, say amen. Amen, brother. Go shopping for groups. Go to a group. And if you say, nah, I don't think so. Well, leave that one and go find another one. And we understand nobody gets their feet. We're trying it out. But then I'll ask you, when you find one, you say, okay, I think we're going to try this one. Then do this. I'm going to ask you, commit to it. Give me one semester in a small group, and listen, if you don't, listen, I guarantee if you don't change, I'll give you a pound of sausage. Come on, somebody. Next one. All right. What's going to happen, though? Let me tell you how it's going to happen. You're going to meet one person in there, maybe a couple people. You're going to meet a couple in there, and you're going to start talking to them. Somewhere down the line, you're going to start talking to them. See, everybody you know now, you never knew. Everybody you know, everybody you're comfortable with now, you never knew. You never knew that. Remember when you first saw your mom and dad? Who is he? You never knew. Uncle Fred, you never knew Uncle Fred. You got to know Uncle Fred. And everybody you don't know now, you didn't know at some point. And there are great people in here. Somebody sits over here. Never met somebody over here. Just saw them. But when you get involved, you meet people. And I'll guarantee you, listen, somewhere down the road, you're going to start talking. And you're going to start getting close. And that intimacy is going to start a process of reproduction that God has put into the laws of the universe. And you're going to initiate meaningful relationships that will literally, listen, they are critical to your survival. Small groups are critical to your survival. Because relationships are spiritual. And if you want to change, get involved in relationships. If you want to change, get part of a small group. If you want to finally kick that habit of what you do on the computer, get in a small group. Look what Proverbs 18 says. We're going to end up. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks close. See, what you need is, you don't need a bunch of Sunday acquaintances. You just don't need a Sunday bunch of, you know, people you see once a week and people you see occasionally. You need some friends in your life. You need a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then the last one this morning, John 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, I've called you what? Let me tell you what, God. God didn't just want to be your God. Jesus just doesn't want to be your God. He wants to be your friend too. All right, lay everything aside this morning. I want to ask you to do that. Maybe you're just a Sunday. Maybe Jesus is just a Sunday Jesus to you. And maybe all you ever really think about him much is Sundays. And then you come back next Sunday, you see your Sunday Jesus again. And he doesn't want to just be a Sunday Jesus. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He doesn't want to be a Sunday acquaintance. He wants to be your best friend of your life. And maybe in your life, you really have never really become intimate with Jesus. And when you become intimate with Jesus, that's when the life of Jesus is reproduced in you. That's when what he has is passed down to you. He said, he that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. How does that happen? How do we become the righteousness of God in Christ? That is, he takes everything you got and you get everything he had. And the way that happens, though, is you've got to get intimate with him. When you get intimate with Jesus, that's when the law of the universe takes place, where there is a process to where when intimacy always reproduces. It always causes reproduction. It always causes that. And so when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. And guess what happened? Out of that intimacy, there is new life. Out of that intimacy, he changes you. Out of that intimacy, he brings he takes what you did wrong, he takes your life, and then he gives you his life, his sinless life. He takes on himself all the things that you should be paying for. He takes all your sins on him, and then he gives you his spotless life. He exchanges because of that intimacy. I want every head bowed. Maybe that's you this morning. You've never really ever gotten that close to Jesus. You know about him. You like him. You like the stories about him. But you never have gotten that close to Jesus where the intimacy has produced reproduction in your life. And that's you this morning. Nobody else going to look. I want you to just raise your hand and hold it up till I look at you. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do it. There was four of them this morning in the early service. You're here this morning. You've never. Okay, God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? You've never really gotten that close to Jesus where he has changed your life and he's reproduced in you. All right, for anybody else, you want to change? You want to say, Pastor, I want to change my life. I want to change my life completely. Anybody else before we close and pray? All right, let's pray. I want everybody to pray with me. Say, dear God, this morning I draw near to you. I want you to be my friend. I want to get intimate with you. Thank you for dying in my place, taking all my sin, taking the punishment that should have been mine. And this morning, I invite you into my heart. I want your life. I want to be intimate with you. Save me, Jesus. Everybody say amen this morning. Give the Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. Everybody stand up. Okay, it is decision time. All the rest of you this morning, it's decision time. Are you going to nurture some relationships that you've been letting lang a little bit? Don't lose your family. Don't lose your best friend. Don't lose them. Are there some relationships you need to sever? At work, at school, at neighborhood, family? Are there some relationships you need to sever? And then third is, today we begin small groups about initiating some meaningful relationships in your life. Father, I just bless this congregation as you bless the early church. And you said, go forth and multiply. So, Lord, I just bless this church this morning with meaningful relationships, intimacy, Lord, with other human beings, other good Christians, Lord, that can cross-pollinate and speak into lives and, Lord, and make a reproduction occur on whatever level, Lord, their friendships go to. That you would change them, and God, that you would break habits, you would get them out of things, Lord, bring them into that. I just pray and thank you for the blessings of God in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a good clap offering one last time. God bless you.